First thing I'm going to start out with, I want to go to this awesome scripture that we quoted the other day, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Did you see anything in that two chapters of Judges that Dave read that might have been different than the way you would have done things? Did you see anything? Well, if you did, I want to show you in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, I want to show you something here that God says. Okay, verse 8 says, "My thoughts are completely different from yours." Is that true, isn't it? God's thoughts are completely different than yours, says the Lord, "and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." Now then, let's see what verse 9 says. "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So you will notice that, first of all, you might have done it like this, or you might not have, but if you'll notice in that first chapter that Dave read, the very first thing he started out with, Israel sinned against God, and so he turned them over to the Philistines for judgment for 40 years. Now then, I don't know if I'd turn somebody over to anybody to judge them for 40 years or not. That's a long time. But see, God's ways are not mine and yours. And sometimes he turns us over to people. And then, of course, when we get down to that next chapter, you know, when he brought this little boy into the world, you notice that he brought him in special. He didn't want the mother to drink wine or eat grapes or eat forbidden foods or none of that stuff. And his hair was never to be cut. You know, I'm glad God didn't tell me that. You know, because I have to have mine cut every few weeks. I mean, you know, I guarantee, because every time I go to the barbershop, the people that cut my hair, whether they be male or female, have always said, "You have the most beautiful head of thick hair I ever saw in my life." You know, I have cut a tub full of hair off of you, and there's still lots more up there. You know, I have them say that all the time. Well, I'm grateful for the hair I have, but God is the one that gave me this head of hair. You know, I mean, at least I'm not like this friend of mine. He was the manager of the lumberyard over in Louisville for a lot of years, and he was completely, totally bald. He didn't have a hair on his head at all. And he had a big sign on the back of his desk there. He said, "God made a few heads with hair, and the rest of them he made perfect." Well, that fit him, didn't it, Keith? You know, so, I mean, he made his head perfect. That's the way he looked at it. Because who made the head? God did. Who put the hair on one head? God did. Who didn't put the hair on the next head? God doesn't. So he is in control. So we look at these things, and then we see in that next chapter, after little Samson was born and the Holy Spirit began to move and he began to grow and all these kind of things, then he become a fine young man. But we see that God raised Samson up to torment the Philistines. I mean, this is what his whole job was on earth, to kill Philistines. You know, now, I have a problem, you know, saying I'm going to raise a son to kill my neighbor. That ain't exactly the way I do things. But I'm not God. You know, but God can do that, and that's what his scripture teaches. That's what he's doing here, and he was doing it because of their wickedness to Israel. Well, who turned them over to Israel in the first place? God did. Yeah, that's what's so strange about all this. His ways are not ours. And then, of course, you notice that in that next chapter there that Samson goes down to Timnah and he looks and he sees this beautiful girl. Uh-oh, he's in trouble. Oh, when the guy sees a beautiful girl. You know, now most guys today, most men are not interested when they first see a girl, especially if they're young. They don't walk up to her and say, "You know, are you Holy Ghost filled? Do you go to church?" They don't do that, do they? They look at that woman for one reason. She's beautiful in their eyes. You know, so beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So it says Samson looked upon this woman and he saw her and man, he desired her. He said, "Man, I want that woman as my wife." So he comes home and tells Dad, "Dad, go get her." And Dad and Mom say, "Isn't there one single girl in our own clan that you could marry? Isn't there an Israelite girl you could fall in love with? Why do you got to go here and want with these heathen girls?" But the scripture says, but they didn't know that God was the one that was causing him to fall in love with this girl. Now, isn't that something? God was calling him to fall in, causing him to fall in love with a heathen girl because he had a plan. And so, of course, we saw what happened. He goes over there and he gets this girl and he marries her. And then, of course, what does she do to him? Very first thing, she nags. Oh, and he hates it. He gets so upset with her for her nagging, he gets married and he goes home. He don't even stay with her. He goes back home with his mom and dad because of her nagging. He doesn't like it. But now, why was she nagging? Because when her Philistine buddies found out that he made this little venture with them and they couldn't figure out what it all meant, this riddle, they come to her and said, you either go find it out or we're going to kill you and your father and burn your house down with you in it. How would you like to have some friends like that? Forget it. I don't believe I like to have that kind of friends. So now she's nagging because she knows she's going to get killed if she don't. But she doesn't realize that because of her nagging and she gets the riddle and she gives the answer, it's going to cost her life anyway. Wow. But it's going to. And God raised this boy up to judge the Philistines. And man, that's all he does in his whole life. And some of the strange things that God does through this man. So that's why when I read this scripture, like I read there in Isaiah 55, I think, you know, God's ways is definitely not my ways. His ways are higher than mine and yours. He doesn't do things like we do. And then when we think about these spirits, it says the Holy Spirit comes upon Samson. Well, I want to take you to a scripture, and it's in First Samuel 16:7, and I want to look at this. I had a lady at a television network. Her husband was the owner of the TV network, and she asked me this question after she heard me teach the word the first time. She asked me this question, and I want you to see this statement here that's in First Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't make decisions the way you do. People judge by outward appearances, but the Lord looks at a person's thoughts and intentions of their heart. So, you know, you might see somebody and you might think, I don't think I want that person as my friend. But the Lord says that will be the best friend you ever had, because God's looking at the heart. But see, just like Samson, when Samson looked at this beautiful girl, was he looking at her heart? No, he was looking at her body. You know, he was looking at this girl that he wanted to go to bed with. That was his desires. But you know, that's a strange thing about men and women today. We don't teach our children how to look at people's hearts. We teach our children, we don't teach them nothing as a rule. They learn, you know, from Hollywood, that the only ones, I mean, there ain't no such thing as nobody that's good except he's a macho man or he's a beautiful, or she's a beautiful woman. Y'all know that? That's just the way they do things. But some of the best men and women in the world are the men and women that have the good heart. Now, when you look at them, I remember one day, I never forget this day, there was a little girl walked in the church, and we were over in Dallas years ago. She walked in, and I mean, from me as a man, this little short girl was not attractive, no way at all, at all. She, you know, she was just a little lady, fairly young lady, I don't know, 25 or 30 years old, but she wasn't attractive at all. And then a young boy walked in, and he wasn't attractive at all either. You know, he was a little short guy, and he walked up to me and said, Pastor, you see that beautiful girl over there? I said, that went right back yonder? He said, yeah. Isn't that the most beautiful thing you ever saw? I said, well, yeah, she's okay. He said, that's my wife. Isn't she beautiful? Now, see, in his eyes, that woman's the most beautiful woman in the world. Now, that's the way every man and wife should be. You know, now, he may very well, but since he had been married to her and living with her for, who knows, 5 or 10 years, I guess, he now knows her heart. She's probably a sweetheart. She probably takes such good care of him. She's such a sweetheart. And he wasn't that very attractive either, you know. And she wasn't attractive, but the two of them together were attractive to each other. They loved each other. Y'all see where I'm coming from? But that's the way God looks at us. God looks at this big, tall boy here that the prophet was going to go over, and he's a big, tall guy, you know, guy like me, you know, tall, you know, got lots of hair and all this kind of stuff. And the prophet says, woo, he's got to be the one. And God said, no, that ain't him. He ain't the one. You don't want him. Well, see, God looks at our heart, so you can't tell by what you see on the outward appearance, because God don't choose us to do things by what we can see. He knows our heart. And I'm so grateful. Then in verse 14 and 15, there's another statement here in 1 Samuel 16, 14 and 15. I want you to see this. Verse 14 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord has left Saul." Now let me tell you, that's a beautiful thing that you get from God if you're obedient. If you obey God, you get the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I'm going to read this to you first. And then I got to go to one more place. "Now the Spirit of the Lord has left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear." This lady in the television station, she said, she took me to 1 Samuel 16, and she said, "I want to know where you think that spirit came from." That spirit came from exactly where the Word of God says it came from. She said, "Are you telling me that the God we serve will send a tormenting spirit of depression and heaviness upon us?" I said, "Absolutely." I said, "That's in the Old and the New Testament, girl." She said, "I have asked that question to dozens of Bible teachers, and I've always got that was an evil spirit that God allowed to come upon Saul." I said, "No, that ain't what that says at all. That scripture, where does it say that spirit came from? And the Lord, who?
The Lord.
And the who?
The Lord.
And the Lord, in capital letters, sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear." Now then you notice that if Saul disobeyed the Holy Spirit of God, God withdrew the spirit. And then he didn't just withdrew the spirit, he sent a tormenting spirit to make his life miserable. Isn't that something? That's very clear, isn't it? Now let's go to Acts 5:32, and I want to show you in the New Testament before we get to chapter 15 of the book of Judges. Acts 5:32, I want you to see a scripture here. Look what it says. Acts 5:32.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled Jawbone Hill, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.